It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Whether you've been thinking about.
We don't care what you've been thinking about right now. We've just been thinking about trying to get on air. Everything was an upside down wreck this morning.
Yep. Yes.
I'm telling you, the enemy always tries to throw a monkey wrench in things, especially when he knows that there's going to be good word going out from this place. Yep. I'm Neva Pied. I apologize for us getting off to a late start. I even got here this morning like at 20 minutes till 9.
Wow.
I know, that is a record for me.
That's what the problem was.
Sue's over there running the iPad for me. Monica's gone today with her bonus daughter. And Pastor Kevin Akins is our guest today. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
We talked about you praying for our equipment and laying hands on. Anyway, we finally got it working.
We did.
Our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can call text 580-485-0837. About halfway through the program, we'll stop and pray for your needs. We do record in two parts, and we will post it over on our Facebook page, over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, after the program's over. I think maybe I've covered everything, and if I didn't, we're just going to go for it anyway.
Go for it anyway.
Pastor Kevin, will you pray to start us out?
It's so good to be here today. Father God, we love you. And Lord, we just take a breath right now, a fresh breath, and just begin to calm and ease our minds. And with all the stress and all the struggles that's out there today, Lord, we want your word to go out with comfort and with peace. And Lord, we just pray today for an opening of our mind that we can comprehend all the complexity and the mysteries of your word. We pray, Father, that you will open our ears that we can hear what the Spirit says to us today. But above all, God, our prayer is that hearts can be opened so that we can receive and retain all of the good word that you have for us, that it becomes a part of our life and we can live according to the way that you want us to. We'll give you the glory, the praise, and all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen.
And as I said early on, the name of the title you gave this today is All or Almost.
All or Almost.
And I
all
would go, almost. Is it all or is it almost? Almost?
Yeah. Well, you know, the things that God does for us so often is he is all in for us. There's no doubt about that. He went all in for our life, all in for to get rid of the sin out of our life. God is all in for us. And it's just about time for us to go all in for him. Mm. I say just about time. That's just a figure of speech. It is time that we make that decision. There's so many people today, even as Christians and in our churches, that they just do almost enough for God. They just want to just do part of it, not everything. I did a little research, came from this from a different perspective. I got some insight for you today, so I hope you just hold on to the very end. Hope I can share something with you today that I ran across, and it was just enlightening to me. So just hear me out for a few minutes, if you will. I begin like this. The word all is used in my Bible, just the word all, A-L-L, is used in my Bible 4,660 times. Where the word almost is used 16 times. Mm. There's such a huge difference between all and almost. We serve an all-in God. We serve an all God, a God who loves us with all of his heart, a God who loves us the way that we are. All of his being is all about us, a God who sacrificed all to redeem mankind, gave his only begotten son, a God who is almighty. Not almost mighty. He's almighty. When are we going to get this into our head? So many times, though, and I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that even I feel like an almost person or an almost Christian. I think about what God takes me through and some of the things that I face and some of the things of my friends that they face and some of the things that they go to. I can remember back in school and yeah, I played football and school team, and I was on a swim team, and I played baseball for a while, and I've been very active all my life. And the biggest thing that I've ever done is raced motorcycles a lot, and I have several second place trophies. I have a lot of third and fourth place trophies. I almost got first several times. That's my point. Almost get to first place, but not quite there. You know, it just wasn't right there. But I also remember things that I have missed because I almost was on time. I almost made it, but I missed it. Almost got the handout, but I missed it. Almost got the invitation, but I missed it. I heard a man say, this was just recently, this is what's really stirred it all up. I heard a man say, this was just a couple of days ago. He said, I almost won the lottery. And I was like, how do you know that? How do you possibly know that? Well, he missed it by one number in there. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. So whatever that was, he almost won the lottery, you know. And but I get kind of sad in my heart because in the spiritual side of this, I think that people are comfortable in the almost stage instead of the all stage when it comes to Christian service. I think that people get into a state of mind to where they're satisfied with what they do. They're almost ready to fully serve God, but they don't want to fully commit to serve God. They're almost ready to surrender to His grace and live the Christian life, but they don't want to surrender all. They don't want to give it all to Him. They're almost ready to receive from Him the true love and forgiveness, but they fear that there's a requirement of all that goes with it. So they're happy with just the almost side of it. Today, I want to take you into a particular part of the scripture, and I want to talk about a couple of unsung heroes, names that aren't really looked up in the Bible, things that we don't really follow. And this is where we're going to go. We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 19, and you're going to hear a couple of different comments about a couple of different ones. The Bible tells about a very heartbreaking story where King David is trying to be overthrown by his own son, Absalom. Absalom's been sitting in the gates of the city of Jerusalem and saying, now, if I was king, this is what I would do. Or if you guys would allow me to be elected, this is what will take place. And I'll just push the old man dad out of the way, and I'll come in with my new ideas. We'll change things. And the people started buying into Absalom. They started believing him. And Absalom just kept telling more and more greater expectations. And until David's right-hand man came in and said, Absalom sitting in the gate, and he's going to defy you and overrule you. We need to go in and we need to kill Absalom. And David said, kill my own son? That ain't going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to raise a knife against my son. So David says, I'd rather leave the kingdom. I'd rather just run out. If the people want somebody else besides me, let them have somebody else. And so David mounts up and he leaves out. And as he's journeying out, and he's leaving very fast because Absalom trails after him, his own son comes after him, is going to kill him, basically. And David has been running for 4 or 5 days now. Some would say even 2 or 3 weeks. And they get to a particular time, and they're weary. His whole army is weary. They're tired. They're hungry. They're starving. And they realize that they're camped next to a man by the name of Barzillia, I think is how you'd say it, Barzillia. He comes out and he brings grain and he brings dried fruit and he brings cheese and he brings milk and then he even brings sheep and he brings the meat and he feeds David's whole army, the whole tribe, and he renourishes them and revitalizes them and gives them the strength back. And then he offers David a place to stay, and he says, you just stay here as long as you like. This is my land. You're the king, and you're the great one, and you can have everything that you want. And David is so grateful for it. And we don't hear much about Barzillai, and we don't hear much about that. We know the story of Absalom. We know the story of how and Absalom was attacking David and how David ran from him. But we don't hear that much about Barzillai. But after the battle against Absalom, when the battle is over, when the battle is through, and Absalom now is dead, he was killed by one of David's right-hand men, and the people come back to David. Now, I'm just kind of filling this story in. You'll have to go read 2 Samuel chapter 19, because it's a fascinating story. There's one little phrase in there that I preach from a lot because I love it, because the people said, here we are now, we don't have a king. Our king that we elected, Absalom, he's dead. why don't we bring back the real King? Boy, isn't that a message for today? Why don't we bring back the real King of this world? But Absalom, he says, all right. I mean, David says, okay, I'll come back to Jerusalem. I'll go, and let's get all my people together. And David goes back to Brasilia, and he says, Brasilia, you fed me, and man, you took care of my family. I'm going back to Jerusalem. I want you to come and live with me. I want you to come and live in the king's palace. I want you to eat what I eat. I want you to have what I have. I want to give you all this stuff because you were so nice to me. I want to bless you. But let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 31 and following. I'm going to read it to you, so if you're driving, you can just listen and hear the word of God. I'm reading from the New International Version this morning, a little bit different than some of the others, but I really like how it reads. Brasilia, the Gileadite, and so he's from Gilead, if you'll remember some of those stories, fascinating. And he also came down from Rogelium to cross the Jordan with the king and to send him on his way from there. Now, this is Brasilia doing this. Now, Brasilia, verse 32, Brasilia was very old. The Bible says this, not me. He was very old at 80 years of age. He had provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. And the king said to Brasilia, cross over with me and stay with me in Jerusalem, and I will provide for you. In other words, I'll give you whatever you want. You're in the king's palace. Verse 34, but Brasilia answered the king, how many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I'm now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is enjoyable and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of male and female singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will cross over the Jordan with the king for a short distance. But why should the king reward me in this way? Let your servant return, that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and my mother. But here is your servant, Kimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king. Do for him whatever you wish. And the king said, Kimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him whatever you wish. And anything you desire for me, I will do for you. So all the people crossed the Jordan. The king crossed over. The king kissed Brasilia and bid him farewell. And Brasilia returned to his home. When the king crossed over to Gilgal, Kimham crossed with him. Now you go, Pastor, where are you going with this? I told you, stay with me. It's a fascinating fact. Listen to this. I want you to understand that almost is the fatal enemy of all. Almost is the fatal enemy of all. Every unsung hero in the Bible has to win the battle over his almost before he can really win the battle of his all. We all get so close. We all will face an opportunity to where we can almost have everything that God wants us to have or almost get there, but we may choose to go a different way. We may have excuses to where we say, I don't want to go there. Don't want to do this. I don't want that. I don't want everything. Brasilia had the opportunity to have everything the king offered him, but there's much more than that. When the king offers you great things, you don't really know all those things that are going to unfold. I want to tell you today that Jesus offers you avenues of ways to fulfill the almost in your life. Jesus can fulfill your dreams. Jesus can fulfill your health issues. Jesus can heal your body, deliver you, set you free. Jesus can change the outcome of things that you don't even see happening yet. Jesus has the answers for you today. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But will you give him your all instead of your almost? There are many people today that are just like Brasilia. They've got excuses. And they won't give Jesus their all. Now, I want you to see the distance between your almost and your all. I want you to see the difference between who you are and what God has for everything within you. So just stay with me a minute. Today's a little bit different outline than what I'm used to, but it's just a different format of the sermon. Instead of giving you 3 points in a poem, I'm just kind of talking with you today. I'm just sharing with you today. Brasilia was invited to live at the king's palace, but all he had to offer the king was excuses. I'll go with you a short distance, but I don't want to go with you all the way. I don't want to do everything that you want me to do. I still want to be your friend, and I want you to know that I'm here for you. But honestly, King, I am too old to do anything right. I can't taste, I can't hear, and I'm just afraid that I'm going to be a bigger burden on you. There's so many people today that feel like they're too old to do anything for the kingdom. Now, I know I'm going to sting a few here, and I'm not doing it on purpose to sting. I just want you to wake up and hear me. But if you've ever used the excuse, you know, I have had my time and I've done all of this before. Now it's time for the younger generation to do it. Don't rely on that excuse. You don't know what God has in store for you. If He opens an opportunity for you to do something and you're healthy enough to do it, you're strong enough to do it, you need to do it because you don't know what God's got in mind for it. Well, you know, nowadays I'd just soon write the check and give the offering and let somebody else do the work. But if God's opening the door for you to do the work and you're able to do it, you need to do what God's opening up for you. Don't give Him your almost. He'll take your check. He'll take your money. But He wants your service. He wants your commitment. You don't know what God's got in mind. And I could list you several other things that could take place if you would just go and do what He's asking you to do. Why go halfway? Why only do part of what God wants you to do? So often the story is a halfway faith or a halfway commitment and almost there. I almost did it. I almost have the strength. I almost have the... No, do it all for the kingdom of God. Do what He wants you to do. This one man, he said, you know, I'm going to go part of the way with you. I'm going to go some of the distance with you, but I want my servant Kim Ham to do it all the way. I want him to be the one to go for it. I want him the one to get all the stuff. I get it. I know you want the younger generation to get the blessings. I know you've been blessed. I know that you've had that opportunity. But let me turn the page just a minute and let me say, I'm not talking about just the older generation. Even many of our younger generation today, they're perfectly content and satisfied with just giving a little bit of an offering and not making a sacrifice of an offering. Or they want to give just a part of their time, but not all of their time. They want to have a family, want to raise their family, want to do all these things with their family, which is a great aspiration for what God wants you to do. But if you'll surrender to the Lord, you may find that there is far more things for you to do than you've ever realized. So often, even the younger generation today only want to give almost or half of themselves and not all that God has. If we're going to serve the Lord, isn't it time? I apologize. Let me just apologize right quick. We started with technical trouble, and I'm still having technical trouble. And I'm just going to speak to that technical trouble for just a minute and tell it that it has no authority, not in my system, not in y'all's system, not in anybody's system. And so with that being said, I'm getting back on track. Now, isn't that amazing?
It is.
It's amazing. We know who the prince of the airways is, but we know who the king of all is. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
And so we're leaning on that king. We got to get back to where we know and understand that no matter what your age, no matter how old you are or how young you are, make your commitment to give it all to Jesus now. Say yes to the completeness of it, not just a halfway to it. We serve an all-the-way God, not a halfway God. In everything you do, maybe God's just asking you to do one little part. Maybe He's just asking you to be a servant on Sunday morning. Maybe He's wanting you to be a greeter. Maybe He's wanting you to be a van driver. Maybe He's wanting you to do something that nobody else knows about. Maybe God has laid it on your shoulder to pick that broom up and that little dustpan up and go sweep up all the crickets before the people start gathering in. Man, how important would that be? What a great asset that is for the kingdom of God. Just the little necessities. Maybe God's asking you to clean out the flower bed by the sign instead of driving into the church and saying, man, I wish somebody cleaned out that flower bed. Maybe God's putting it on your shoulder to do it. And do all in. Do it good. Don't do it halfway. Don't start cleaning that flower bed and then get mad and say, well, nobody's paying attention. Nobody said one word about all the weeds being gone. Nobody said anything about it being trimmed or edged up. But instead saying, doesn't matter. I did my all for God. That's what makes the difference, is doing everything for God. If you say yes to the King that keeps that way, there's going to be powerful things for you. But if you say, yes, Lord, I'll do it as long as it doesn't get me out of my comfort zone, as long as it doesn't make me feel awkward, as long as I don't have to totally surrender to you. People say this to me all the time. I don't think I can go on a mission trip, but I'll help pay for somebody else to go on a mission trip. Well, thank you very much for helping somebody else go on a mission trip. Thank you for that. I'm not discrediting that. That's a grateful thing. Thank you very much for that. But if God's laying it on your heart to go to a mission trip, don't start making excuses. Don't say that you're too old. Don't say that you're too young. Don't say that you don't have enough. Do what God has got for you to line up to do. When some people say, you know what, I see what y'all are doing, but that's just not for me. That's just not for me. You go do that. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe you want to be the financial supporter of it. My message this morning is, if God's laying it on your heart to do it, don't do it halfway. If God's even laying it on your heart to give an offering for that trip to go, give an offering for somebody else to go, then don't just pay for half their way. Pay all their way. Make a sacrifice. Make the commitment. Go all in for it. Don't just pay their way up to the point. Give them some spending money too. Why is God laying it on your heart to get that person to go out on a mission trip? He's not making it on your heart to give it halfway. The average cost for a mission trip today, average cost of, around the cost, is $2,000. It's $2,000. Can you dig a little deeper and give that person $3,000? They might bring you a prize back if you give them a little extra money to go. Go all in for it. Make it a blessing that changes the life of that individual. You may be starting the fire of a missionary burning down in that heart that person may go back fully. If they go back under a pressure, no, I got to repay this. No, I got to do this. No, I don't have enough for that. No, I can't bless that. No, I can't give to that. No, I can't do that. I don't have anything to give. But if you give them above and beyond, once you give that, it's no longer your money. It's God's blessing money mm-hmm. that's going in for that. Go all in for it. Get them out of there. You're going, Pastor, how did we change from what we started with? All or almost. Do you want all the blessing? You want almost the blessing. You want to do halfway with God? You want to give all to God? Or you want to just give almost enough? We have no way of knowing what the all will be when we become satisfied with the almost. Brasilia almost went with David, but he changed his mind and said, no, I want to send my servant in my place. I want my servant to go. Brasilia almost got the full rewards of the king's package. He lived a good life. He lived longer. We've got stories of him. We know that he died in the city with his mom and dad was buried in the same grave with them. He had a large family. He was a very wealthy man anyway, but he just almost went with David, but chose not to go with David. I want to tell you, and I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to go with a prayer, and then I'm going to come back and finish this story, and you don't want to miss this second half, but I want to let you know something. I'm speaking of my own personal testimony. I know I was called into the ministry at a very early age. Before I was a teenager, I know I was called, but I did not surrender. I chose no, I want to feel freedom. I want the youth. I want the world. And my mind twisted, my heart twisted, my soul twisted. And I went off into some deep areas and some dark areas that I don't want to even give credit to anymore. But then later on in life, I came back to the Lord. And later on, I surrendered to the Lord. And later on, I became back under his ministry. I think back now, what could have God done with that young heart at that young age? Where would have I been today? Not so much me, but how many more souls could have I reached? How many more people could I have influenced if I'd have done what God wanted me to do at an early age instead of waiting till the later? I mean, I'm thankful that I changed at the later age. Mm-hmm. There's many things that have happened, and God has blessed me tremendously. But if I'd have gone all in at an early age, what a difference it would have made for God. All or almost? I almost went for God early. Wow, what a difference it would have made. Well, all or almost.
All or almost. That is certainly words to chew on and for us to examine in our own life and where we are. We do have some prayer requests.